Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor David Lindell, Executive Ministry Pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
If you've got your Bible, I hope you do, at least on your phone, we're going to go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Becky and I are reading the same Bible reading plan this year. So we don't always do that. I don't even know if we've ever done that in our whole married life. But it's really fun because we're reading through the chronological one-year Bible. Has anybody else done that? Hey, like a little reading club. So chronological one-year Bible. And it's so fun. I've never read through the chronological one-year. So I've read through the one-year Bible, but the chronological one, you know, there are a lot of parts in the Bible that we disconnect from one another that are actually connected. And it's just the way that the scriptures are laid out. But this is really fun because you see different, you know, things from the prophets that correspond with the historical books of the Old Testament. And so it's very, it's just enlightening, but it's also encouraging. And recently we read this story that we're going to look at tonight. And the reason I want to take you here tonight is because of what it speaks to regarding what starts tomorrow. Does anybody know what starts tomorrow? Wow. Let's go. Man, y'all, this is like last Wednesday. Very responsive. Love that. Okay. There are going to be more tests, by the way. Okay. So 21 days of fasting and prayer, greater things. And so when I read this passage and thought about this passage, it's such a perfect segue into the fast. And honestly, segue is too weak. It's a launch pad. This passage is a launch pad into the fast. And God wants to launch us into 21 days of seeking his face and then seeing the extraordinary. He wants to launch you into that. And so tonight, I'm going to speak to you from the subject, here it comes, fasting for a turnaround. Fasting for a turnaround. Because the fact of the matter is, God is a turnaround God. Oh, man. Okay, I'm coming back up. The fact of the matter is, God is a turnaround God. What I'm talking about is he can literally turn your situation around. And I'm not trying to hype you up. I'm just trying to catch you up with how exciting this is. Because he is a turnaround God. And I don't know what the situation is you're facing. Here's the thing. I don't have to know. One, because he knows. And two, because regardless of how big or small anybody else thinks it is, God is perfectly able to turn it around. He's perfectly able to do a 180, create a 180 in that situation. And so we're going to look at this from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And as we talk about jumping into this fast, I want to grab this card real quick because as we think about fasting, the fast starts tomorrow. And the fact of the matter is, I believe God is going to speak to hearts in this room tonight for people watching online as well about what he would have you do if you don't already know. Because fasting biblically is abstaining from food. It's abstaining from food. Now, abstaining from other things in addition to that is great. So abstaining from food and saying, okay, I'm going to be off social media. Abstaining from food and saying, I'm not going to stream anything for 21 days. Or, you know, that's wonderful. You know, cutting out those distractions is great. But fasting biblically starts with abstaining from food. And so when we talk about what that would look like, I'm going to give you some examples. They're on the card, but it could be to fast 1, 2, or 3 meals a day. So maybe you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to fast breakfast and lunch, and then I'm going to break that fast in the evening at dinner. Or maybe, you know, I'm going to fast lunch every day, and I'm going to go and pray. Now, when you fast a meal, that doesn't mean you work through lunch. That's different than fasting. That's just called skipping. Fasting is where you don't eat, and instead you pray. That's what fasting is. So you're going to say, instead of eating, I'm going to fast. And if you're fasting lunch, a great place to do that to help you focus is to come to the prayer for revival at any one of the campuses. And that's happening at every campus. You can come, you can pray, make a massive difference in the lives of people and in your prayer life. And then, of course, at dinner as well here at the South Campus, you could do a 21-day Daniel fast. It's where you're cutting certain things out of your diet. And so there are resources in, you know, the cafe bookstore. You can grab those, be a huge blessing to you. 21-day Daniel fast as well. You could do a liquids only fast. So you could say, you know what? I'm not going to eat solid food for 21 days. I'm instead going to do liquids only. And it would be a way of you kind of cutting back on some of the things that may not be healthy for you anyway. But also every time you have that liquid instead of that solid, God's reminding you, hey, you're doing this for me. Your focus is on me. And a powerful, powerful way to fast. And then as well, you could do a sunrise to sunset fast. So that, you know what? Here's the thing about this. It'll help you get up early to pray. Why? Because you're like, I can't eat when the sun comes up. I'm going to get up in the dark. You know, like, but you just say, I'm not eating. And that's really not the goal there. But I'm not going to eat from sunrise to sunset. I'm going to spend the times of the day where I would be eating between sunrise and sunset, praying, seeking the Lord, and then you would break that after sunset. But I would encourage you, obviously this isn't exhaustive, but I would encourage you, hey, ask the Lord what he would have you do, and then believe he's going to do powerful things through it because he's going to. And I don't know if you realize this or not, but we're starting on August 1st, and August 21st, the end of the fast, I just extended the fast by 10 days. The end of the fast on August 21st is a prayer meeting night. It is a night with Pastor Bill Johnson. And here's the thing. In the, you know, I don't know. I mean, I just kind of pulled together just a quick list. But in the last two times that Pastor Bill has been here, I mean, we've seen people healed of plates and screws in their ankle, a broken tailbone, color blindness, autism, arthritis, dead nerves, torn meniscus, neuropathy, herniated disc. Somebody was healed after 27 years of MS, wheelchair bound, totally healed. So that's, and that's just a small sample of all the healings we've seen. And I'm just saying, after fasting for 21 days, what would God do? If you really said, I'm gonna press in and seek the Lord, you will watch it in your life. I don't know what you're fasting for, but in addition to what's on the card, you press in and watch what God does in your life. So back to 2 Chronicles chapter 20, because God is a turnaround God. And when we look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20, we see in fasting four things that fasting turns in our hearts and in our lives. As we fast, some things shift. And in shifting those things, God turns our situation around. And the first is this: fasting turns fear into faith. This is so good. Not because I'm saying it, but because it's true. Fasting turns fear into faith. Look at this. After this, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and with them, some of the Meunites came against Jehoshaphat for battle. When it says after this, it makes you think something came before this. Something came before. What came before this? National revival. I mean, Jehoshaphat has seen the nation of Judah revive spiritually, and all these wonderful things have happened. And here's the reality. Oftentimes, when we see a revival and we see God pushing back darkness and we see all these amazing things happen, we think, well, here's what the next thing that's going to happen. We're going to, even something better is going to happen to that. And God does have better on the other side of revival. But also on the other side of revival is battle. Why? Because anytime the church gets serious about pushing back darkness, darkness pushes back against the church. Now, the gates of hell will not prevail, but it doesn't mean Satan's not going to try. And so here's the thing. They've seen revival. They're seeing all these amazing things. And then what shows up? The Moabites, the Ammonites, the Meunites. And they align against Jehoshaphat in battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Gedi. Now, verse 3. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Totally natural response. He hears about all of these kings aligned against him, the battle that's in front of them, and he's afraid. But watch what happens. He was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. In other words, what happens in the instant that he begins to feel fear and the recognition of the threat against him, he immediately makes a decision. And it's a decision every one of us have to make. When something comes against you, when there's a battle, it doesn't matter if it's relational, physical, it could be any number of things. When all of a sudden you feel the press of the battle and fear rises in your heart, there's a decision in front of you. Will I give in to fear, which only then begets more fear? Or will I set my face to seek the Lord? Here's the thing, at the beginning of these 21 days, some of you are facing, and I would say many people in this room, because there are battles all over this room that none of us know about. Battles that people are carrying quietly, things that are going on in homes, things that are going on in your finances, things that are going on, and it's way bigger than you, and you don't know what to do, and you've walked in here carrying that fear and that anxiety. The fact of the matter is, you've come into the right service at the right time. Why? Because just like Jehoshaphat, you can decide tonight, I'm not gonna give in to fear, I'm gonna set my face to seek the Lord, and I'm gonna do that through a fast. Why? Because fasting turns fear into faith. It's an amazing thing that God does. As you set your face to seek him, all of a sudden what rises up within you is this holy boldness, reminding yourself of who God is, reminding yourself of what God has done, and faith takes hold of your heart and you begin to think different, pray different, walk different. It just happens. It's what God loves to do as we look to him. But the fact of the matter is, fasting not only turns fear into faith, fasting also turns our eyes from our strength to God's sufficiency. Fasting turns your eyes from your strength. And when I say your strength, usually and appropriately, our eyes are on our lack of strength. Why? And that's actually a good thing, by the way. Because the fact of the matter is that we are often too confident in our own ability. And we are far less confident, at times, not everybody, in God's supernatural power. Maybe he'll do it for them, but I'm not sure if he'll do it for me. That's less confident. I'm not sure if God hears. I'm not sure if God's gonna answer. I'm not sure if God's gonna heal. I'm not sure if God's gonna provide. I'm not sure if God's gonna move. Less confident. And so we wrongly get confident in our strength and we evidence that by trying to do it our way instead of yielding to God's way. Look at what Jehoshaphat does. Our God, he prays, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do. But our eyes are on you. We don't know what to do. Guess what? That's the posture and that's the response of somebody who's fasting. Because fasting has a way of reacquainting you with your own inability. I mean, there's nothing like fasting to remind you of your weakness, but there's also nothing like fasting to remind you of God's strength. Because in a fast, you feel weak, and it's almost as if God is reminding you of the reality that is always in play. Even when there are calories flowing through your body, you're weak. The problem's too big for you. The battle's too intense for you. You need the help of Almighty God. In fact, you were designed to call on him and get his help. It's the way he set it up. It's the way that he loves to do it. He wants to move in power in your life. And here's the thing. Fasting reacquaints you with some realities, and these are the realities. I'm hungry, I'm fasting, but God is my sustainer. Okay, I'm hungry, God is my sustainer. I'm weak, but God is strong. I'm tired, but God is always awake. Aren't you thankful that God never slumbers or sleeps? I'm just thankful for that. I'm thankful because at about 10:30 tonight, I'm gonna crash, and I'm gonna crash hard. Because I had a Celsius right before this service. And all of a sudden, that caffeine train is gonna stop. And I'm just gonna have to find a pillow. And you know what? My creator is gonna stay awake all night long working on my behalf. That when I'm asleep, he's awake. When I'm tired, he's still going. Okay. I'm perplexed. God is in control. He's in control. I don't know. I love that Jehoshaphat says, we don't know what to do. That's the same as saying, we're perplexed. God, I don't have a solution for this. God, I don't see a way out. God, I don't see a way through. God, I see no way that this is gonna resolve to my benefit. All I see is three armies allied against me and against our people. And all you see, honestly, there are some in here and you've come in and all you see is the battle and all you see is the threat and all you see is the enemy. And God wants you to open your eyes, not just to see the reality of his power, but also to see the fact that your confession should have been from the start. God, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And he'll honor that posture of humility and surrender. I don't know what to do. My eyes are on you. I'm perplexed. I'm powerless, but God is powerful. Here's the thing. Through your fast, this 21 days, I hope that you butt up against every one of these every day. God, I'm weak, but you're strong. God, I'm tired, but you're strong and awake. God, I'm powerless, but you're powerful. The fact of the matter is God wants to reacquaint you with his sufficiency. Get your eyes off your strength or your lack of strength. Get your eyes on his divine power and sufficiency. Number three, fasting turns your battle into God's battle. I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that the battle wasn't yours to begin with, but as long as you want to fight it, God sometimes says, go ahead. Because if you say, God, I'm not gonna invite you into this struggle and I'm not gonna invite you into the battle, God is perfectly willing to allow you to try to fight it on your own. Because it's in trying to fight battles on our own that often we learn the hard lesson that God is the one who will win the battle for us if we'll let him. And when you fast, it turns your battle into God's battle. Look at this, go back to 2 Chronicles. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, a descendant of Asaph, and he stood in the assembly. Here's something interesting. One of the commentators that I came across said, why the long lineage here? And his thought on this, and I think he is probably right. He's like, this guy stands up and declares the word of the Lord to these people. But they're like, who's this guy? Okay, and the writer, it's almost as if the writer says, okay, I know none of you know who this is. He's the son of this guy and the son of that guy and the son of that guy. He's, you know, his great-great-grandfather was this guy. His grandfather was this guy. Yeah, his dad was this guy. They're like, oh, that guy. What's the point? The writer's point is God will speak through anyone who's fully availed to him. You might say, oh, well, God doesn't speak to me like he does to, you know, Pastor Brandon. God doesn't speak to me like he does to Pastor Eli. That's not true. God will speak to anyone. And here's the amazing thing about a fast. God wants to speak to you through this fast. The question is, are you dialed into him? And here's the thing. God is going to speak to you. And I believe God is going to not only speak through you, but he's going to speak to you as he speaks through other people prophetically. This is a prophetic word to the people of Judah, and it comes in the middle of a fast. I don't know about you, but I'm anticipating through the next 21 days that I'm gonna hear specifically from God about very particular things in my life that I've got questions about or that I'm praying about, and God is going to speak through people around me if I'm willing to listen. So God speaks through this guy. And here's what he says. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Here's the thing. Sometimes you're afraid and other times you're discouraged. Some of you have come in here and when I said you've been carrying fear, you're like, I don't feel afraid. But you do feel discouraged. Your initial response to the situation was fear, but what's happened is you've walked in the situation so long that your fear has really devolved into discouragement. It's the sense that I'm always going to live here. This is always going to be the way it is. I have no clue what's going to happen. He says, you know what? Not only don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Some of you need new courage for the battle. Because not only is God going to fight the battle, but you're entering into 21 days in which God is going to break discouragement off of you and instead replace it with courage. He's going to take discouragement and instead he's going to put courage in you by encouraging you as you spend time with him. This guy says, don't be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. God wants to take the battle from you. God wants to take the battle off of you. And as here's the thing, we can try to fight with all kinds of different weapons, but the weapon that God wants you to pick up during the next 21 days is really simple. He wants you to pick up the weapon of fasting and prayer. Because if you will pick up that weapon, it will turn your battle into God's battle. And the fact of the matter is, throughout church history, God has been doing this through the fasting of his people. This is not just a biblical reality. This is actually in the history books. So in 1756, the French were threatening to invade Great Britain. And as they were threatening to invade Great Britain, the king called a national fast. John Wesley writes about this in his journal. Look at what he says. The fast day was a glorious day, such as London has scarce seen. Every church in the city was more than full, and a solemn seriousness sat on every face. Surely God heareth prayer, and there will yet be a lengthening of our tranquility. Can you imagine today in the United States of America, and I'm praying this day comes, where the desperation of people In their desperation, in the seriousness of their situation, they come up against their inability and they have to appeal to Almighty God. And our president gets up on a national television and says, you know what? We don't know what to do, but we're getting our eyes off of ourselves and our eyes off idols and our eyes off everything else. We're getting our eyes on Almighty God and he's gonna help us. And I'm asking the United States of America to fast. Let's pray that day into existence, that people would turn to God. So the king calls a fast. John Wesley writes it in his journal. Later, he wrote this. Look at this next quote. Humility was turned into national rejoicing, for the threatened invasion by the French was averted. What happened? A nation got on its knees. A nation humbled itself before the living God and fasted and prayed. And the battle that was England's became the battle that was the Lord's. And this pagan, in a lot of ways, pagan nation, looking all over the place, got its eyes off everything else, got its eyes on the Lord, and God heard from heaven and responded. And here's the fact of the matter is, God doesn't only want to do that for nations and groups of people. He wants to do that for the individuals in this room. He wants to do that for the people watching online. If you will look to him during these 21 days and say, God, I don't know what to do with the battle. I don't know what to do with the struggle. I don't know what to do with what I'm facing, but my eyes are on you. Then guess what? God will honor that in your life and he will take that struggle and take that battle. And he'll say, oh, guess what? I can win that one for you because he gets the glory through it. It's what God delights to do. Now, the fourth turn. Fasting turns the threat into blessing. I don't know what the threat is today, but God delights to take what is threatening you and use it to bless you. He wants to take the relational conflict. You've been at odds with that parent, and all of a sudden turn it around to bring blessing into your life. The issue at work that seems to won't resolve. Am I even going to be able to stay in this position? Is this going to work out for me long term? It's a threat to your financial security. It's a threat to your future career-wise. And all of a sudden you fast and you get on your face before the Lord and you seek him, and he turns the threat into a blessing. What would God do? What would God do if you said, for the next 21 days, I'm setting my eyes on him? Look at Jehoshaphat. After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Look at how it happened. The Ammonites and the Moabites rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Mount Seir, they helped to destroy one another. What? Do you realize that God can supernaturally cause the enemy to destroy itself? The problem can implode. How? Through fasting. When the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked toward the vast army, they saw only dead bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and also articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it all. What happened? The threat became a blessing. And the fact of the matter is that tonight, God could launch you if you say yes to him. If you say, "God, I'm in, I'm on, I'm gonna do it." God could launch you into 21 days that totally turns your situation around. And at the end of it, you find yourself not being able to contain all the blessing that he's brought out of it. It's the truth of God's word. Would you stand all across the room tonight? Because here's what we're gonna do. This is a moment, because some of you have brought battles into the room and you've been fighting with a lot of different weapons, or you've been carrying anxiety and you've been carrying fear. And the fact of the matter is, the best thing you could do on the night before we start this fast is lay that down at the altar. To say, "God, I brought it in here, but I'm not carrying it out of here. Instead, I'm picking up the fast. I'm picking up the confidence that I'm gonna turn and seek your face," and watch what he does. So whatever the battle is, whatever you're facing, whatever you're walking through, whatever the struggle's been, whatever you need God to do that you've been thinking about, obsessing about, worrying about, God wants you to leave it right here.